check this out. Will you become a citizen of Asgardia, the first nation in space? Proposals right now for that first nation state in space have been unveiled by a team of scientists and legal experts right now who say that the move will foster peace, open up access to space technologies, and offer protection for us here on Earth. Let me explain. We are talking about a space station for 100,000 citizens. And you can apply. And the first 100,000 citizens that apply will be accepted. It will eventually become a member of the United Nations with its own flag and its own national anthem. Asgardia. Just go to the news section right now at coasttocoastam.com. I first reported this yesterday on Fade to Black. And the news is going around right now. This is nuts, and it is cool. You need to check out the pictures. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast. It's Friday night. Your phone calls next. Welcome back to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'm sitting in for George tonight. Normally he would be here, but he's in New Orleans for the Lee Harvey Oswald conference. He'll be back on Monday. Let's go to wild card Steve in Albany, New York, way out east. Welcome to Coast.
Hi, I've been on before. I got a question for you. Have you ever heard in the background while doing the show somebody flushing the toilet?
No.
I'm not going to do that to you, but I thought it would be funny. Okay, here's the thing. Lately, I've become aware of something which is really strange. Not for me, but it's just strange. I took a course in parapsychology, and this was not in the course. And as I'm opening the door, I'm reminded of what I called up for. And that is, a while ago, I was, three decades, I was married to a woman, and I went to counseling to try to get her to counseling. And I wound up going myself, finding out that she had problems and I didn't. So anyway, as I'm talking to the counselor, I say, a lot of strange things happen. He goes, like, what? And I hand him the key that I was holding in my hand, my motorcycle key, and it was bent. And recently, as I was telling you about the door key that I was just using, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. As I was handling the door key, bent in my hand. And then...
Does this happen often, Steve?
It is now. It's happening like once a week.
Is it just keys or is it silverware?
I'm going to get to that. I had in my hand a spoon, a little bit. The door key bent, okay, and I just used it. I was handling a spoon, and as I handle it, I can feel something in my finger just as it happens. And all of a sudden, the spoon just snapped in half. It wouldn't bend. I've had spoons bending constantly.
We're talking about metal spoons, right?
Right, right.
Well, can you do this? Can you not do it?
No, I cannot not do it.
So it's going to happen no matter what. So if you come over to my house, I give you plastic silverware. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, basically you're inviting me to come have dinner with you.
Well, what I'm saying is you can't stop it, and I find that interesting.
Yeah, no. It's just every once in a while it happens, like a sneeze. You know, every once in a while you'll sneeze and you have no reason to sneeze. Okay, it's just all of a sudden. I'll look, and the key is bent.
Wow. So what are you going to do about it? That's the question.
Well, here's the other thing. I got in my car, I tried to use the key, and it stuck a little bit, okay? And then I went to use it again, and this time the car, the key wouldn't turn. I went to the dealer.
What year is the car?
It's an 05.
It's an 05. So can't you hold it on the plastic part of the key without touching the metal part of the key?
And I'm talking about the key this time. It was the tumblers inside the ignition switch.
And you touched... So you're touching the ignition switch too. Wow. I have a friend, Steve, check this out. I have a friend, and thank you for the phone call. I have a friend that is so powerfully psychic that she cannot wear an electric watch. She cannot. They die and burn. She cannot use a computer. She touches a computer, the computer screens go blank, and she fries the computer. Her life is done with notes, a pencil, a pen, and a calendar. She cannot, cell phones, they fry in her hand. So what you're talking about here, this is nothing unusual. I've heard this before. And so you have to just make accommodations for it in your life. You know, you just have to. You have to learn how to control it. That's what I would do. All right. Thank you for the phone call, too. Excellent phone call. And this is not the first time that I've heard about people with these kinds of experiences. Let's go to Jared right here, San Francisco, California. Welcome to Coast, Jared.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good, Jared. What's up?
I was just going to call in about my experience with I don't know if it was a paranormal activity or if it had something along the lines to do with sleep paralysis, but...
What happened, Jared?
It had me stuck. I was on the couch one night, and I was laying near my mom. She was on the opposite couch, and we had the TV on, and I just started getting kind of fainty and feeling really tired, and next thing you know, I feel like I'm falling asleep, but I'm still awake, obviously, and I just see this. All I can describe it is a shade. It almost seemed like a mist, but it definitely had a face. I could, like, point out almost a beard, facial features. And he was coming towards me. And he was coming towards me slow, almost like in a terrifying way, like he was trying to get a rise out of me.
How old were you? When did this happen?
At the time, I was 17, so this was almost a decade ago because I'm 25 now, so about 8 years ago.
Okay. Did your mom see anything?
No, she was actually already asleep. So she's laying there on the couch, passed out, and I'm sitting on the couch next to her where I'm starting to fall asleep. And like I mentioned, slowly but surely keeps approaching and coming my way. And all I could really do was, because my whole body was experiencing like the same thing that people contribute with sleep paralysis, just completely paralyzed.
Right.
From the head down, and I just couldn't move a limb. And all I could do was mutter, "Mom." I was going,
Okay. Terrified. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. Just mumming that for my life. And it just kept coming closer and closer. And the moment it touched me and it went right through me, I snapped out of it. I could move my body again.
It touched you. What did it feel like?
It just felt like a cold breeze going right through your body, up your spine, and just a chill.
Now, this happened when you were 17. Has it happened since? And was it only at your parents' house?
This was only at the house that we were staying at in Clayton, California at the time.
Interesting.
That was it. And then the only thing is, it's cute. Like, from then on, my grandma's passed away since.
Right.
She was alive then, but since she's passed, and it just got me really curious and wondering about the afterlife and everything, obviously.
Right.
And since then, I've further been intrigued, and at one point in my life, around 21, I was studying dimethyltryptamine. Have you ever heard of it?
Of course.
Yeah, exactly. So some people consider it loopy or wacky. It's another form of hallucinogen, but I experienced I tried that a few times in my life, and
well, let me ask you this, Jared. First off, DMT is produced naturally in our bodies, so that's
exactly. But I did enough research to not mess around with some man-made chemical or whatnot.
Right, but I haven't, I haven't, so I can't, make any personal comments on it. But I'll say this: with your experience there with your mom, it sounds to me that you found out then that all things are not what they seem, and there's something else going on out there. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I could consider it an eye-opening experience. I can't really contribute it to one thing or another because I'm never right or wrong.
Right.
I just meet halfway in the middle where I wasn't asleep and I wasn't awake, and it was a weird experience.
Jared, thank you for sharing that with us, man. And that's just amazing. It's, you know what the bummer is? Your mom didn't share it with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, she has her own weird things where she calls things out. She has her dreams. She wakes up from her dreams and things happen. And it's just, I don't know if there's something that runs in our family with weird stuff, but all I can say is it was a trippy experience.
Thank you for the phone call, Jared, and be safe out there. Have a great Halloween.
Take care. You too.
Right on. That I love phone calls like that right there. Let's go way out east to James in Paducah, Kentucky. James, welcome to Coast.
Yeah, you were talking about your dog that talks to you.
Yeah, no, she talks to anyone.
There's a book out by Harold Klemp, his last name Klemp, called Animals Are Soul Too. If I could find it, I'd give you the ISBN number.
No, it's okay. I'll look that up. But yeah, I want to be clear here to everybody when I said that. I'm talking about talking in sentences, not telepathy. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. She talks in sentences.
Harold Klemp is Klemp. He's a master soul traveler. He's written like 75 books, seminars, and everything else. Have you ever heard of Ekankar.org? Ekankar.
No, but I'll look that up. James, did you have a question though?
Well, I've experienced soul travel too. He's a master soul traveler, and he was talking about, I mean, one of his tapes and stuff I was listening to, he said, talked about a dog that he had when he was younger. It was a female dog. It came back it came back, it reincarnated as a male dog. And he said, I can't understand this. And just, he's told a lot of stories about animals, and it's religion, a light and sound of God, Ekankar.
Okay. Well, I
Have you
will
ever heard
check
of
it.
Hugh? Have you ever heard of Hugh, the ancient love song to God? Good for anybody. It'll help you soul travel in your dreams, your animals, and everything else. H-U-U-U. Hugh. I'll let you go. I
Okay.
love your name, Jimmy.
Thank you, James. Right back at you. That's what I'm talking about. Let's go. Let's stay West Coast. Let's go to Paul in Seattle. Paul, welcome to Coast.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Jimmy.
What's up,
Yeah,
Paul?
I'm awesome show. And about the metal stuff. Yeah, I wasn't sure, but sometimes I thought that metal, like spoons or forks, would be bending. And but that's not the reason I called. I wanted to mention, I had mentioned this to George. I had bought a new phone. I think I believe it was around June 4th. And up here in Seattle, the moon is really, really bright. And so I wanted to take a picture about midnight. And so I was all set. I had my hands over my head, get a snap a picture, and these two red orbs flew over my neighbor's house. Now,
no way, no way.
I'm telling you, and I want to get your email after here just in a minute and send them to you. And these things did not make a sound, and they were bright red, and my heart started pumping fast because.
Well, how big were they? Hold on, Paul. Hold on now. Pump the brakes on the truck here, okay?
Okay.
How big were they?
Well, when I see it in my mind, I remember when the V-22 Ospreys came over the house. My neighbor who retired from Boeing said they were about 800 feet up in the air. These were probably, I'd have to say, a little lower than 800 feet.
Okay.
I can't really tell you the size. Like I say, when I snapped the picture, they look as bright, kind of. Well, the moon, you can see the moon in the picture, and then these two things look like they're a little bigger, as far as not too much bigger than the moon, but obviously the moon's further away.
Did they make any noise?
Not a sound. And they were coming from, SeaTac Airport is like 5 minutes away, they were coming from that direction, and I couldn't believe it. I think it was a Friday or Saturday, and usually people are all out. And these things were coming to the west, and they made just like a little sharp turn towards the south, still not making a sound. And I took a crash course right there on this new camera, and I saw continuous shots, so I just held it down.
Well, before we run out of time here, Paul, I've got to get some questions in, okay? And then I'll put you on hold. I'll put you on hold, and we'll get your email address, okay? So before that happens, where did they go? Did they go up into the sky?
No, they went south, and they just kept going until they disappeared.
Did they stay together? Did they stay together?
Yes, there were two of them. And when I took the continuous shots, when I looked at some of the pictures later, and I showed them to people, I didn't say anything, especially to my friend who retired from Boeing. He always makes jokes. So I just asked him a question: which planes have two red tips on the end? He did not know, and he was baffled. And then I showed him the picture, and he had nothing to say.
Right.
And
well, what do you like I said, I need, before we run out of time what do you think that you saw? Was it us or them?
I kind of thought it was them personally, but you know, with people putting thoughts in my head about it could be military or something, but I thought, I mean, if it was that low, it could not have been two small planes cruising the residential area. And, you know, so I don't know. I've had experiences, too, where I've had paralysis, and I'm trying to match that up with something. But I really think that it was something different that I've never seen, and I don't know about military. These were awesome.
Were there any reports on TV or in the newspaper about lights or strange things in the sky?
No, good question. No, but I showed them to three different police officers, and they were looking at it like they were going to ask around, but they were really interested in it too. And I haven't heard back from them. And one thing, well, let me just say this real quick, that I showed them to like five people, and I didn't say anything. I just asked them what they saw. And three out of the five people said that it looked like a face in there. Now, on coast to coast.
What do you mean a face? What do you mean a face? In the red orb?
Yeah, when I zoomed in on them. It looked like a face, and this is what I was getting at. There's a guy on Coast to Coast talking about when aliens would show up, the Bible said something about they would have faces of lions. Before I even heard that, Jimmy, I'm telling you, there's this guy at the store.
Right.
I showed him. I said, what does that look like to you? And he thought it was a cell. And then when I enlarged the picture, he said aliens. And then I said to him, I said, it looks to me like a face of a lion. And this is what, on Coast to Coast, they said that they will have faces like lions.
Interesting. So, how long did this, Paul, how long did this event last?
It couldn't have lasted more than 3 to 5 minutes, 4 minutes.
Now, you said this was in Seattle, Tacoma. SeaTac is right there. Were any military or any helicopters follow up with this? We're going to be headed towards a break here, Paul, but and then I want you to stay on hold, okay, so I can get your email address. But did any other helicopters or chase planes show up after these things?
No, they didn't. And I had some UFO pictures before that, and it turned out to be the same ones were on the computer that I had. It was the ISS, International Space Station.
Right.
And that was coming from Whidbey Island, and that's up north. That's in the northwest, and that was headed to, now if you go to Tacoma, I think they have McCord Air Force Base over that way.
All right, Paul, we're going to head towards a break right here. I'm going to put you on hold. And we're going to get your email address. I want to see these pictures. Thank you so much for that. It's Friday night. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Your calls all night. I'll be right back. So check this out. I host a show. It's called Fade to Black, Monday through Thursday from 7 to 10 live right before Coast to Coast. You want to check it out? Just click on my name over on Coast to Coast AM on the website. It'll take you straight to ours, and you can go and see if you like it. And if you do, come hang out with us. And then when you do, you get 3 hours of that, 4 hours of this, and you get 7 straight hours of live paranormal every single night. How great. You got to love this country. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'll be right back with your phone calls. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. It's Friday night. It's my favorite night of the week on Coast because I get to hang out with all of you, and I'll show you how we do it right here. Wild card, Steve in Valley Township, Pennsylvania. You're up next on Coast.
Good morning, George or Jenny.
Yeah, it's Jimmy. George is in New Orleans right now, but I know that we sound kind of alike, right? I could.
You do.
I'm with you, Steve. I'm with you, Steve. What's up?
Well, this is kind of a three-part question. It's a birthmarks, recurring dream, and past life experience.
Okay, let's start with the birthmarks.
Right, that's where I want to go.
Okay.
Which I have on my lower back.
Okay.
And my mother was concerned about it. We did the doctors and everything. Well, when I reached about 28, I saw a program. They were talking about birthmarks having to do with past life injuries. Now, from there, it goes to a reoccurring dream that I've had as long as I can remember. And I'm 61 currently.
Okay, that's a lot of dreams. Really quick, yeah. Give me the short version of the dream. What is the dream about?
Okay. It feels like me in the dream. I'm seeing soldiers in battle, World War II American uniforms, running in directions, artillery shells coming down, a shell going off behind a group of soldiers, one of them arching forward, like, you know, being hit in the back, lower back.
Yep.
I have my birthmark. And
right.
Everything goes black.
Okay, what was the third part? Okay, I get the first two. Now, what was the third one?
Birthmark, the program that I had seen on TV said the birthmarks had to do with previous past life injury.
Yeah, I totally, Steve, I'm totally with you on all of this. So really quick, because we're going to run out of time. The show's going to end here in a few minutes. So,
right.
Okay, so we have the birthmarks. We have the reoccurring dream from World War II with the explosion, and you get shrapnel in your back. I get that. What's the third point that...
And I feel like it's me I'm seeing dying.
Sure.
In the dream.
Sure.
And the kicker is, I had an injury about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They did surgery. I died on the operating table. I died twice. And seen the light, too.
Right.
And I was wondering if you ever heard about birthmarks and
absolutely
experiences being combined.
Absolutely. I've had a few different researchers that I've talked to over the years that have spoken about this directly, and I don't question any of that at all. There is I can't remember his name right now, but there was a book written about this child. I think he was 5 years old that was naming aircraft from World War II, right? Like at the age of two. And he had told these stories over and over again about crashing his plane during World War II, getting shot at by Japanese Zeros, crashing his plane into the aircraft carrier that he was on. And he could name the aircraft carrier and other people that were on that aircraft carrier by the age of like 3 years old, 4 years old. And it's an incredible story. So when you tell me these experiences right here, you're not the only one, and I totally hear you, and I find it totally fascinating. What I would do is the next time you have the dream, and people say this all the time, Steve, but you should actually do this because I think it's fascinating with what you're experiencing. Get a notepad, put it on your nightstand, and people say this all the time. Get a notepad, put it on, and take notes. People never do it. But you have to. You need to wake up in the middle of the night. When you do, and it's fresh in your head, throw some notes down. You never know. And maybe there's a name or something else or a place or something that you can associate yourself with. And just maybe you can figure out who you were. Think about that.
I'll try that, definitely. Yeah. And I do remember dreams.
And you should write them. Steve, seriously, write them down. Call me back. Let me know.
I've done it in the past. I will start doing it again.
Yep.
Maybe I can get an answer to that question. It's been bugging me just all my life.
You can figure it out all for yourself and by yourself. So thank you for the phone call, Steve. And seriously,
thank you for taking it.
Yep, you got it. Put a notepad, man. Put a notepad right there on your nightstand. It's the only way that you're going to be able to get it done. You'll never remember. Let's go to the first-time caller line out here in California. Mark up in Fresno. Mark, welcome to Coast.
Thank you, Jimmy. I can't bend spoons, and I don't have weird dreams. I have normal dreams, and I've never seen a UFO. My question is how I have an aura about me, and I can hardly keep inside of my body.
Who has, what do you mean, the aura? People see your aura, or do you see your aura?
No, it took me over 40 years to control this. It's if I walk into a room, when my mother got remarried and I was living in a part of the house, I would travel to their room out of my bed, and mom would finally make noises, and I would actually have to cover my head with a pillow.
Wow.
To stop trying to travel that way. It took me over 40 years to control this.
And so, but you can control it now.
Now, yes, I can control it, but I will still walk into a restaurant and into a room and not mean to do it. And I know.
Wow.
I'm not out of the ordinary. I'm not that.
No, I get it. I get it. Are you married?
I was with one woman for 34 years.
Did she ever see you do this?
No, because I haven't. I could come, now we're not together. I could go 150 miles and be there.
Well,
but I don't want to do that. And I never did want to do it. I am not bragging about it.
No, I'm not suggesting that you are, but it's interesting, Mark, seriously, that you were able to get it under control. And did you have somebody help you do it, or did you just, you know, figure it out on your own?
No, it bothered me so much. Like I'd say, I'd have to cover my head with a pillow so I would not travel to this, my mother's room and her new husband, and she would actually have to make noises. I could do it anywhere else. And
right.
They can't take it, and they have to make a noise.
Right, right. Well, I'm just, and Mark, thank you for the phone call, by the way. I'm just glad that you are able to now control that, because if it's out of control, that's a drag, and especially if, and I don't mean that to be flippant, I'm saying if you can't control it, that's pretty scary. But once you learned yourself to get it under control, that's the best. I'm going to go back to Texas. I'm going to go to Sid in Abilene. Sid, welcome to Coast.
Thank you, sir. How you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing good, Sid. How are you?
I'm fine. I lived in a haunted house in 92 to 96.
Yeah.
And it was in Seguin, Texas.
Okay. What made it haunted, Sid?
Well, when we first moved in it, the first thing we noticed was me and my wife was in the kitchen. And I was looking around in the room, just looking around, and I seen a dark cloud at the back of the room.
Right.
And it looked like a miniature rain cloud. And it was going along the edge of the wall.
Really? In the house? Inside the house?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
To the ceiling.
Wow.
And it went all the way around to the corner, and then it came down this way to this corner, and then it went back that way, and then it just went down into the stove.
What happened next? It went into the stove?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so what happened next?
It went up there on the stove, and it went down it.
And what happened? What made the house? That sounds pretty trippy, but what makes the house haunted?
Well, my wife, we went to bed one night, and my wife asked me the next morning, said, did you leave any cabinets open last night? And I said, no. And she asked my son, did you open any cabinets last night? He said, no. And she said, I got up this morning, and every one of the cabinets were open.
Wow.
And And then that another time, I woke up in probably about 12 o'clock. I went to bed pretty early, and I woke up about 12 o'clock, and I looked toward the kitchen, and there was a red light in there. And I walked to the door face, to the door, right, the door corridor.
Right.
And I was looking in there, and the floor looked like it was bloody. It had a green linoleum down on the floor.
Right.
And it looked like blood was all over the floor, and looked like the walls looked like they were bleeding. And there wasn't no red light in that room.
Wow. Wow.
But
so
the red light would show up.
Is the house still haunted?
I imagine it is, because it was when we left it.
Wow. What do you think it, Sid, before I let you go, really quickly, what do you think it was? Was it somebody that you knew? Was it a spirit? Was it?
It was a spirit.
Wow.
And my wife was sleeping in the living room one night, and she heard this guy laughing from the corner.
Right.
And she looked, and she said, there ain't nothing there, but it's just darkness.
You knew something was going on when you saw the black cloud floating around inside the house. You should have known right then.
I knew it.
Yeah. Hey, Sid, thank you for the phone call, and have a great, safe Halloween, all right?
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. That's a great phone call right there. International line, Rick in Greenville, South Carolina. Rick, that's not international.
No, it was the only way I found to get through.
The phone lines are jammed up, and anybody that has the courage to call on the international line and admit you're in South Carolina does get through, okay? How's that?
I love it here. I'm first-time caller, long-time listener, listen 7 days a week, retired, and something to do. I get out and deliver newspapers every night. So,
that's what I'm talking about.
I get to listen to you, and I've had, I'm Cherokee, mostly Cherokee and Dutch on my mother's side, and Chippewa, and English-Irish on my father's side. I'm a direct descendant of Pocahontas.
Wow, and so you have this same European American Indian heritage in both of your parents.
Yes.
So what does that make you?
I don't know. I didn't realize this until just a few years ago. My father was, he was your traditional kind of a racist white man.
There you go.
He didn't want us to really know that we had all this Indian blood in us.
Yeah,
that, I had to tell anybody, you know.
Yeah, so you're just mad at yourself all the time, right?
No, I love life. I just everything.
All right, Rick. So what's up? What's up?
I've had alien experience when I was about 6-7 years old that I always blew off as a dream. And as I got older, I realized I said that was not a dream. I remember that as a physical thing, you know. And I know because when I was young, you know, I said, oh, I had to be a dream. I had to be a dream. I didn't want to think about it, you know. But I've been struck by lightning. Since then, I've been struck by lightning. I've seen this giant bird you hear everybody talk about. I just blew it off. I was like, well, that's a really big bird, you know. And I've had UFO encounters after that. I've seen Bigfoot. You know, I've had a paranormal experience here lately with my dog. I had a dog that was deceased here about 2 years ago, and I go out in my car and sit in the driveway sometimes in the shade in the mountain and smoke a cigar, a small cigar. I don't smoke in the house. And I sit out there, and I can hear him walk by the asphalt, kind of trotting by, like saying hello. His little nails hitting the because he made a certain sound when he walked, little Dachshund Pekingese mix. And he comes to visit me sometimes. He visits my wife all the time at night in her bedroom.
So you're a paranormal magnet.
I guess so.
Wow.
I've had so many UFO experiences, just seen so many of them, that when I was a teenager, that we didn't take any pictures or anything. There were so many of us that had the experiences that we just thought everybody had those experiences. I didn't think anything about it, you know. I see them all the time. I said, well, there goes another one, you know.
Your house is going to be fun each year around Halloween time, I can tell. Thank you for the phone call, Rick, and be safe out there. We'll see you tomorrow night right here on Coast.
Thank you.
Yeah, have a good night. All right, I've got time for maybe one more. Let's go to Michael in Gardner, Maine, way out east. Michael, you're up next.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good, Michael.
You got to love that caller, huh?
Yeah, it's great.
No lie.
You got to love it.
Hey, about that space station, you got any more reliable information? And who's running the program?
Oh, it's totally. No. It's totally reliable. The guy that's running the program works for the director at the United Nations at UNESCO for their space division.
Yeah.
So you can go check it out right now. And there's plenty of information out there. Just go over to the COAST website, click on the article, and go. And then you can start researching Asgardia. And good luck with that, because there's a lot of reading out there, and the photographs and some of the images out there are fascinating. But this is the real deal.
Jimmy, real quick before we got to go, Mandela Effect.
Yes.
You a James Bond fan?
What's that? Am I a James Bond fan?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Moonraker, have you seen it?
Of course.
Jaws.
Yep.
Do you remember the scene when the girl, I can't remember her name, smiles back at Jaws?
Right.
Was she wearing braces?
Oh, man. Oh, I can't remember. I can't remember, but it's...
I've watched the original copy.
Right.
And she's wearing a metal gearhead.
Oh, wait a minute. Yes, she is, because that's why he smiles back at her. Yes.
Next time you see it on TV,
right,
watch for that scene, or
right,
pick up a copy, cheap copy, new one.
Right.
She's not wearing braces.
Ah, I remember that's why he smiled at her.
Yeah, it was the whole... It set the whole scene to the movie.
Right.
And it brought them together, and now...
Oh, Michael, you're messing with me, man. Don't mess with me at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Hey, thanks for the great show tonight. It was great listening to you.
And thank you, Michael. And behave out there. And Mandela Effect is the real deal, isn't it?
Hey, something's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Michael. Be safe out there. We'll see you tomorrow night right here.
Bye.
The Mandela Effect. This is the thing. And when I hear that, it makes me question my own memory right there, because I remember, and he's right, the reason why Jaws smiled at her, and I want to even say it was on an airplane, I could be wrong, but she smiles, she's got braces, and he's happy because he's got steel teeth, and he smiles back at her and shows him his steel teeth. Am I wrong? I'm looking at everybody. Okay, I'm alone in this dark studio. I'm talking to myself. But Dan is nodding like he knows what I'm talking about. But it's that Mandela Effect messes with me right there. There's evidence and proof of it right there. Well, I want to thank everybody right now for hanging out with me on a Friday night. I want to thank Lloyd Auerbach, all of the callers who phoned home tonight. And also, I got to thank Dan for being the best at something. Donna for being behind the glass and putting up with me. And of course, Lisa, Stephanie, Lex, George, and Tommy. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Tomorrow night, my guests are David Omen and Chris Medina right here. We're going to be featuring the Omen House haunting, which is next door to the Roman Polanski house with the Manson murders. Going to be a great night tomorrow night. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Go Beckley Tepe.